And welcome back to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 755, coming at you on a Tuesday afternoon. We're less than 2 days away from Major League Baseball's 2025 season officially kicking off in the mainland. We're here to recap the week one fab. We are back doing this early week ritual. We're going to talk some news because, my goodness, is there plenty of that these days, and much, much more. First off, you can find me on Twitter at BDentric. And my co-host coming off his third main event draft in the books. You can find him on Twitter at BreakingBent_T. Benton, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing great, Bubba. I hope you've recovered from your Vegas trip. Sound like you had a lot of fun out there. I actually just got done listening to your pod with Ryan when you guys did your little interviews. I loved it. So I just had you in my ear for an hour. Now I have you in for my ear for another hour plus, maybe.
I appreciate it. It was a blast. Like Ryan and I were just like laughing because some of the, like, all I know is Dustin McComas' stories, we almost fell out of our chair when he told us, because no idea that was coming. There's a lot of good stuff on that show, a lot of insightful stuff, just a lot of fun stuff, a lot of, we've all been there in the draft room and the relief type stuff. Like, it was all pretty different, because I know you got to draft a draft live in New Jersey, but a lot of people, if you've done a live draft with maybe one group in the room, or most of the time it's online, this is a little different. So it was cool to see it. It wasn't like it used to be. It used to be like all eight in one room, but this new setup, they can only do three in each room thing. So we were hopping around from thing to thing. So it wasn't as intense, but still pretty crazy stuff. So yes, it was an experience. I'll never be fully recovered from sleep, but we're getting there. We're getting there. It's just reality of the situation when you get old. But
a quick question. Yeah, who was at your dinner that you didn't know about? Like, you knew about the dinner, but you didn't know who the guests were.
So Prepa set it up. It was Jason Santu, okay, who finished phenomenally well in the main event last year. And Dave, I apologize, I forgot his last name. But he has followed me on Twitter, so I can tell you in about 2 seconds here. Dave, oh, I'm going to butcher his last name. Dave was there.
Is it Ryder?
No, Asanapur. Asanapur.
Can't help
you. He's one of Prepa's buddies. He was drafted in, I believe, the Platinum on Sunday to the main event on Saturday. He's another good dude as well. So, yeah, it was the five of us at this dinner, and it was a great time. Great time. And Ryan and I had a little brunch with Modica and Mr. Booms himself, Anthony, Jason Anthony, on Saturday morning before the main event. So, yeah, it's just a fun event. I know I've talked about it a lot. People probably don't care much anymore, but getting to hang out with all these people that, for me, I've interviewed pretty much most of them and never met them. So that's been kind of cool. And not to mention just the baseball nerds we are, the fantasy nerds we are. I didn't draft till Sunday, but I was in heaven just watching these guys, like, between auction rooms. The auction rooms are the coolest thing ever. Like, I sat there and just watched these guys, and the prices were similar to what we've done on Line Bid, but it's just different. Like, sitting there and watching these guys go after it, and it was pretty sweet to see.
Awesome. Yeah, I had my own experience. Maybe we'll get into it at the end when we talk main event stuff, but I met Jason in New Jersey. He's a nice guy. I met Rob D. I met Steve O'Swerve, who you guys interviewed live. I met, who else? Greg Martin. I met Greg Ambrosius himself, the man of the NFBC, was there. And it's a live event, no matter where it is. It's an awesome time.
Yep, it is great. And we'll have to find a way to get you to Vegas, maybe. I don't know, because I think it's too easy for New Jersey. It makes sense. I'm not going to ridicule you for that. I'll ridicule you if you stop. Keep avoiding Arizona, but draft season, I understand. I get all that. But, all right, let's just get down to the nitty-gritty, and I'm going to make this for the listeners. We probably won't cover all the important news. Let's just put it that way, because there's way too much of it. I'm not exaggerating. There's, like, a ton. I've tried to keep up with it over on the Patreon. The Discord's kept up with it. Breakfast with Bubba has kept up with it for the most part. So if you think you missed something, check those out. That's what I'll suggest. Ben, carnage has ensued. Basically starting, felt like Saturday morning, waking up in Vegas, and I was like, good Lord, it just didn't stop. Start with Shane McClanahan, left to start on Saturday. Looked like, I believe it was Joe McHugh, after one of the drafts, we were just talking about it. He said, I hadn't seen the video yet. I just knew it happened. And he said, the video reminded me of Dave Dravecki. And I don't know, you might be too young for Dave Dravecki.
No, you're not of him.
Yeah, exactly. So he's a left-handed pitcher for the Giants. He was pitching in Montreal, threw, and his arm basically just came off. Like, it was just dangling. So back then with technology, he had to have surgery. Has one arm now. So it reminded some people of that, apparently. But we got news. It's a nerve issue, Ben. So what are our thoughts here? They're going to let it sit, like settle down for like, what, 4 weeks and then and go from there?
Yeah, I alluded to it being similar to the Jeffrey Springs nerve injury in the Discord, because that's what they originally diagnosed Jeffrey Springs Tommy John as, was a nerve injury. His was the elbow, though. They're saying McClanahan's is in the tricep. So, I mean, maybe, well, nerves are tricky. So maybe the nerve just flared up there, but who knows? Either way, it looked like it was bad. I saw the replay, and if you're drafting tonight, like I am, or tomorrow, or even Thursday morning, I'm not going to take McClanahan tonight. I have my home league tonight, but I'm done after that. And McClanahan was, I was kind of already out on him to begin with, going all throughout draft season. But after that, I removed him from my rankings essentially. And he's coming back from a second Tommy John. Now he has this. It's just too many red flags. Plus, they're going to be pitching in the humidity in Yankee Stadium minor league version, and it's just too many negatives right now. So if you're about to draft still, I would try to stay away from McClanahan, unless you're in like a keeper league, which I'm going to be in. So maybe a last round pick, it makes sense. But other than that, in a redraft league, no, thank you.
Yeah, I'll say this much. I was not in on Shane McClanahan. Obviously, I think people are well aware of my thoughts on Shane coming into the season. In that $250 standalone we did in Vegas, I took him with my last pick in round 30. Just as I screw it, we'll see what happens. That's before we even knew the tricep situation. So we didn't have all the details at that point in time, but we knew he was not looking good. But I said, why not? It's a 12-team league. See what happens in round 30 and go from there. I did find it interesting in those main events, because the news broke about 15 minutes before the draft started. So most people knew. Some said they didn't. Most people knew. In all 8 drafts, I'm pretty sure he went between rounds 8 and 10, even with the news. And that stood out to me in a big way. Like, I understand taking risk, but for every single draft, to take that risk was pretty surprising to me, Ben.
Yeah, Curlin told me about that on Saturday. And, I mean, I get it, because I didn't really make a point to check the news before my main event in New Jersey, which was live like that. And I made a point to do it before last night's main event, just to like go to Underdog or MLB Trade Rumors, the ones that usually have all the news. And I could see, if you're just like in the zone with your plan, trying to finalize, okay, who are my targets? What's my strategy going to be? If you just don't check your phone, I could easily see you missing it. So the chances are pretty low, probably, that everyone, there's someone in every league that didn't see it, I would guess, because everyone's always on their phones. But who knows, maybe they didn't care, or just by chance there was one person in every league that just didn't know about it.
Yeah, no, it's pretty crazy stuff. So we'll see where it goes over these last couple of days of drafts. I just want to see the risk everyone's willing to take, I guess, is the way I'm looking at it. Drew Rasmussen gets a bump, for anybody that cares. That's a big plus in that regard. So Mookie Betts missed the Japan series. He's been dealing with the virus. Said he hasn't been able to keep food down since about 2 days before Japan. He's lost nearly 20 pounds. He was in the lineup Sunday, got scratched out of the lineup Monday. He's apparently back in the lineup Tuesday. They have not started playing since we recorded. This just sounds bad, written all over it. He's falling into like the mid-second round, around pick 20, give or take. What are your thoughts on Mookie Betts right now? Because I am absolutely terrified of what's going on.
Yeah, I made a point to tell myself I was not going to take Mookie last night. I could have had a chance potentially at, was it the 16th? Or I don't know. I picked 9th in the main event, so whatever it is coming back around on the turn. He didn't make it to me, so I didn't have the chance to draft Betts, but I wasn't going to. He's a small guy to begin with, and he lost a pretty good chunk of his body weight over these last couple of weeks. And in season, it's going to be pretty hard to make up for that. And I'm sure he needs every ounce of muscle that he had to do what he does. And I don't know. It's just a scary thing. And I think he's okay. He sounds like he's okay now, but just the weight loss is too much for me to overcome. So I would try to avoid Mookie in the first couple of rounds for sure.
Yep. I'm definitely with you on that one. Gunnar Henderson, this has just been a every day. He's getting close. He's getting close. He's getting close. He got close to the IL is what ended up happening as expected. He'll start the season on the IL, but then, like typical Orioles fashion, they think it'll be a limited stint. And I'm like, dude, you guys have said basically the same thing in a roundabout way every single day. And Gunnar's ADP hasn't changed a ton, which is very interesting. I know you've had some Gunnar shares. What are your thoughts on what's going on here? Are we nervous yet?
No, I'm not nervous. I'm still upset that it did come to being an IL stint for him, but I think he's kind of like he's one of the guys where they're not ready to go, but they're not hurt, I think, at this point. I think he's healed. Gunner's whatever it was, the intercostal oblique area, that's fine now. It's just that hasn't got enough reps yet. Now he has to wait the minimum time for whatever the IL stint will be. If it's the full 10 days, so be it. It'll be maybe end of the second week or first full week of the season, he was ready to go. And yeah, I took him ninth in New Jersey. I could have taken him last night, but I didn't want to take a double risk, even though it would have been a good value compared to where Gunnar was going during DCs and earlier drafts. But I think he'll be fine. And if you can get him at a discount tonight or tomorrow or Thursday, wherever, whenever you're drafting still, I think it's worth it even without like an IL as like the NFBC has. I think he's still going to be okay for majority of the season. I mean, he could always re-injure it, but you can't really say that one way or the other.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is I feel like he's okay. I took him in TGFBI, given that was before everything went haywire. I just haven't been the biggest Gunner guy, but I'm optimistic like you. It's just odd. It keeps continually just lingering type thing. A couple promotions here. We're going to try to mix in some good with the bad going on these days. Cam Smith, that actually was official a few hours before the show, is making the Astros roster as the starting right fielder, which to me is funny because it's like we knew they needed one outfielder, but now they have Cam in right and Otuve still in left. That is odd to me. Different story for a different show. What's our thoughts on Cam Smith, though? Because we'll talk a lot about him, I think, or at least we will talk again about him in the FAB process.
Yes. If it's not this week, it'll be next weekend for sure. And I've been talking to the Guild a lot last couple of days, and he is all in on Cam Smith. I think he has him on seven leagues he has him on all seven of them. And Guild is a great player, so I get why he would be in on him. A lot of other people are in on him too, Cam Smith. For me, I send this to the Guilds. He's got 115 career at-bats in the pros. So I was out on Wyatt Langford for some of the reasons last year. Langford's ended up coming through eventually, but it was an okay season. And Cam Smith is, yeah, it's he's definitely more appealing, like in my 12-team keeper league tonight. But in a, because I mean, you have that keeper value tied to your picks. But yeah, I think he was taken. Cam Smith was taken in two of my two mains that had already drafted, and I wasn't really targeting him last night. So it was just, I have that bias, kind of like you do with rookies, especially when they have this inexperience. It's just asking for a lot right out of the gate. It's a great situation, but it would be nice though if Altuve went back to second, and then I have Chaz McCormick on a DC. He should, if he could start again, that'd be nice. But other than that, I'm kind of out on Cam Smith.
It would be nice. I'm with you. I did not see that one coming for sure. Yeah, I don't mind Cam Smith. I got one share in Fab, got outbid everywhere else, so I wasn't going over the top. I got him like $88 or something. And if Cam Smith came up in May, he'd be going probably for like $400. So I'm like, okay, I'll take it for 88 and see where it goes. Definitely cautious, as you're mentioning, but I think there is definitely some serious upside here because we've seen a guy, it's college, all the goodies there, you know, first round pick. He's not straight out of high school type deal. So we'll see, but excited there. Christian Campbell, he also makes the big club with the Red Sox to play second base, which pretty much shores things up that you got Bregman at third, you got Devers at DH now, you got Campbell at second. Yoshida's on the IL because he has to learn how to play the outfield, but there's really no room in the end for him there either, so God knows what's going to happen to that. But what's your thoughts on Campbell at second base? Because I have zero shares, and not all by choice, but kind of by choice, I guess.
I took a stab in my last DC. I paired him with Vaughn Grissom. So the Grissom pick seems like a waste, and I thought the Campbell pick was a waste too when they first got Bregman. But so far, there's still hope for what I did there. But to your point about Yoshida, if he comes back healthy, what does Abreu lose his job potentially? I feel like whoever's doing the worst out of all the people they have, except for Bregman and Devers, of course, it's kind of coming down to Campbell and Abreu, I would imagine, maybe even Rafaela. But they love his defense, so it's Campbell has to hit if he wants to keep his job, I think. And based on what happened in spring training, from what I saw, he didn't really hit a lot. So hopefully he can turn it around. But he's young; he's not even 23 yet. But I do like the upside for Campbell. I know some people are very aggressive or very optimistic with what he'll be able to do. So as a late round pick, I get taking a chance on him. It's just he may not be around for long, depending on what happens early on.
Yeah, I was kind of with you. It's like I know the hype was real. They wanted him to make the team. His minor league numbers are very good. I didn't see a ton this spring. That was like screaming, you know, ad. But we'll see. We'll see with Christian Campbell. Nolan Jones returns to Cleveland. This one, I kind of surprised. The Rockies are looking for a second baseman with Tyro's injury, which we're not going to talk about because we don't need to go back down that road. But Freeman will be the second baseman for the Rockies. Nolan Jones returns to Cleveland, where he'll be the primary right fielder. He'll be platooning, but he'll be the primary versus right-handed pitching. Good ballpark for lefty power. Any thoughts on this Nolan Jones for fantasy-wise? Because maybe you weren't on him to begin with, but everyone sees a guy leaving Coors and panics, and I'm not sure you need to panic that much.
Yeah, well, I hadn't drafted Jones at all in any of my – I think I have done 11 drafts so far. I had him ranked in a fair spot where I would have been open to taking him if I wanted to. It was just that I'm more mindful of the Coors hangover when they go on the road. So you really have to be a good hitter to overcome that. And Jones had his K problems even when he did well in 2023. But at least now he's – because I remember I looked yesterday before my draft, he wasn't even projected to be in the starting lineup, which I thought was kind of crazy. Why would they go back and trade for him? The Guardians and not put Jones in the lineup. But now Will Brennan's got the boot. He's not even on the active roster on Rush Resource right now, so maybe he got DFA'd or something or sent to the minors. But with Jones, I think this kind of helps him maybe because, well, you're not getting the boost now, of course, but like I said before, he's not getting the road hangover either. So it should be consistent conditions more often than not for him. And I don't know. I mean, he never performed in Cleveland, so maybe there's something there, but it's a good opportunity. I mean, their lineup isn't strong, we all know. He could lose time to Noel if he struggles, Jones, but I think he's worth a flyer just because of what he showed us a couple years ago.
Yeah, the power could actually be better in Cleveland, and they run a ton. They run a lot, yes, which could benefit Jones as well, because like we talked a long time ago, the Rockies said they want to run more, and they did run a lot more in spring. That was a given. But now we know Cleveland will run. That's not a question here. So that's interesting. It definitely dampens any love for John Kinsey Noel. Unfortunately, he's pretty much a streamer when they play lefties is what it comes down to when it comes to John Kinsey. Just want to throw that one out there. And I have no interest in Freeman unless it's a juicy, like it's insanely juicy second Coors week. Any quick thoughts on Freeman?
I did add him to my rankings last night just because he was a relatively okay body. I know he had some appeal last year when he got called up, Freeman, but only in the deepest leagues. Even the OC, I wouldn't be looking at him.
All right. Connor Norby, this one stinks because we all, a lot of us were kind of excited about him getting a full run at third base this year. Injured oblique, grade one, going to miss 4 weeks to start the season here for the Marlins. Looks like Graham Pauly. Man, a guy that I had so many DC shares of when he should have taken over for San Diego didn't happen. He looks to be the strong side of the platoon in Miami. Aaron Quagmire, who I also had shares of because he had moments of grandeur with the Angels. So this is kind of bittersweet. But what's your thoughts on this Norby situation?
It's upsetting. I was warming up to Norby more as this draft season went on. I never got him. I was considering him last night in the main event, but I think I had someone else who had an injury issue, I think, before that. I didn't want to double up the risk. I'm already pretty adverse as it is. And the one chance I took was kind of an abnormality for me. So I didn't want to double up the chance of having two guys on the IL to start the year. And sure enough, he's on the IL now. But, I mean, that lineup's so bad. The Marlins is looking at it now. When Derek Hill's batting second, Matt Mervis is batting third, and Jonah Bride's batting fourth, it's going to be a pretty – easy cakewalk for any pitcher, no matter how bad they are. But I mean, once Norby gets back, hopefully he's fully healed up. He should provide value as a top of the order hitter. So if he wasn't drafted in your leagues, or if he's dropped, I'd definitely be mindful of when he's starting to come back, because he has some talent and he'll get a lot of plate appearances on this awful Marlins lineup.
Yes, absolutely awful. Like, it's dreadful. We talked about it a lot in the Discord, and like, some of it might be joking, but the more you look at it, it's like, I don't think they're jokes. Like, it's that bad. They make the Pirates look kind of strong. They make, obviously, a Tiger. Like, the White Sox versus the Marlins for, like, the Dog Bowl could be really interesting. No offense to Underdog. It got their championship, but everyone knows. The Toilet Bowl. It's called the Toilet Bowl.
I think you're just honoring the White Sox by comparing them to the Marlins.
Yeah, there you go. See, that's it. There you said it all. Said it all, Ben. Well done. All right, the Sacramento Athletics. This one stings for some. Zach Geloff. When I was writing the news, it's a lot of wrist injuries and a lot of obliques. This is not a good thing. Zach Geloff hitting the wrist, fractured wrist, requires surgery, out 4 to 8 weeks. Usually it's close to the 6-ish range with these. So Geloff's out first. We'll start there. If you're drafting like you are tonight or someone is the next couple of days, is Geloff just off the board?
Probably. I mean, my league tonight isn't standard. It's on base and slugging, and Geloff does not have a good on base because he strikes out so much. He didn't mean he has an awful average to begin with too, but he was always off my board, and an 8-week timetable, that's 2 months almost. That's a pretty long time. So I would probably just be passing up on him. He's just more of a upside play anyway, because of the power and the speed, but he saw that his average can kill you last year. So I would not even try to stash Geloff right now. And then with Muncy, I missed out on him. I was talking to Curlin during the draft, and another thing, it's like young prospect. I'm not trying to get too aggressive with, even in the deeper leagues. I'm trying to get stable production that I know what to expect from. And with Muncy, who knows how he's going to handle major league pitching, but I guess he has some speed, and he's a shortstop, which I think he's shortstop eligible at least, which is very huge because of how poor the shortstop pool is right now. So I get taking a stab on Muncy just for that. I mean, he could get two months of decent playing time if he does well, maybe more, who knows. But yeah, I could take a flyer on Muncy. It's just, I'm just not confident that it'll amount to anything, just like I am with most rookies.
Yeah, I like Muncy a lot. I just don't know if this is the year to like Muncy a lot. It's kind of the way I felt about Mason Wynn next year. And obviously, you know, the injuries are piling up for Mason. That's a whole nother debate. But like, I think Muncy's very good. Like, the hit tool is very good. We've seen power and speed in the minors. How quickly does that portray to the bigs, given it is a minor league ballpark? That could be a plus. But dude can play everywhere. I wrote him up for ALPT tomorrow just because of his utility usage and all of spring. So if he's producing, that's going to be interesting when Geloff is eligible to come back. How does that pan out? But yeah, Geloff I would not be drafting, and be really interesting to see how the rest of it takes place. All righty, we got some trouble with the Giants, because as of Sunday, it looked like Hayden Birdsong was the fifth starter in the Giants rotation. He left to start, cracked fingernail, apparently happens all the time. That's not the issue. That's not the problem. Landon Roop is going to be the fifth starter for the Giants this year. And I love Landon Roop. Big fan of this transaction. Hayden Birdsong is starting the bullpen. That's a little different. Wasn't expecting that one. A lot of people are fabbing. We're going to get to him. He's one of those added players this past week in offseason, Hayden Birdsong. Landon Roop was, we actually had a discussion in the Discord after Fab ran that we all wish we would have upped our Roop business before he got the fifth starter spot. So I love both these guys. I think they're both going to be very impactful this season for the Giants between other injuries in this rotation. With Roop starting, Birdsong in the pen, how are you approaching this situation, Ben?
Well, going to last night, I threw my hands up in the air. I said, it was Birdsong. I don't know, I think it was Roop, then it was Birdsong. Now it's back to Roop. I'm not going to even bother drafting the fifth Giants pitcher is what I told myself. I just pulled up Roop's stats. It was a short, small sample from last year. He had a walk issue, and the ball rate supported that. He had a 12% walk rate. I'm not sure how many innings it was, but it was a 38% ball rate. I'm trying to pull up his minor league stats because I'm not very familiar with how he was in the minors, unless you know offhand.
He had good strikeout skills. I'm actually pulling up Ryan's board from the Patreon.
Oh, his minor league board.
Yeah, the minor league board real quick, just to give you a nice quick snippet of this. So at AAA last year, Roop only, he only threw 21 to third innings at AAA. 380 ERA, 1.31 whip, goes 33% K, 16% walk, 18% K to walk. He had a 13% swinging strike, which was good, with that 43% ball rate, but also a 51% ground ball rate, which is very, very nice as well. And only a 65% left on base rate. So, you know, that's, you think he might kind of be underachieving in that regard. But big strikeout stuff, ground ball stuff, controls his issue. Pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, and he kind of is like Mason Miller almost, where, except for he has one year of a lot more innings than Miller ever pitched, but the last 2 years combined in the minors, Roop's pitched fewer than 60 innings, 31 in 2023, and then 26 and a third last year in 2024. And then when you look at the majors, he had 50 innings. So, okay, a little bit better workload. So he had like 70 innings last year, 75.
Yeah.
Who knows how long he'll be able to go if he does fine, but I get the show. Yeah, but looking at the minor league numbers, he did have good K upside, so I get the appeal of Roop. It didn't translate last year in the majors, but it was only his first taste of big league action, so you can't really hold that against him. So I get where he's going in drafts, taking a flyer on Roop makes sense.
Yep. The Roop is on fire. I can already see it coming now, folks. It's going to be great.
Oh, God.
But you know what's going to happen. I'm just being sarcastic, but wouldn't be shocked at the same time. Watch Bob Melvin use Roop and Birdsong as an opener piggyback situation just to tilt everybody. Just watch.
Oh, man. Limit their innings for the
entire season. Just watch it take place. Just, there you go. Have fun with that.
It's probably not a bad idea, honestly.
No, it isn't. If you look at the grades, like seriously, that's a dynamic 1-2 punch when you really want to break it down, or piggyback Verlander and Birdsong. That'd be good too. All right. This is a bit of news. See, back to good news. Back to good news. The Cubs, unlike the Angels, I didn't put it on the outline. But the Angels, we put Reed Detmers in the bullpen for Jack Kolanowicz. Different show.
Thank you for not putting it on the outline.
Yeah, because I had a lot to say about that as well. And then you can listen to Breakfast with Bubba about that. Ben Brown, Chicago Cubs, fifth starter. I had no faith in this happening, Ben. I was very invested in DCs. I did not have any Fab shares because I thought there's zero chance. Zero chance the Cubs do this. Shocked me, Ben. Shocked me. So what are your thoughts on Ben Brown's fifth starter for the Cubbies?
I mean, they actually made a smart move, the Cubs.
Yes,
they did. Because they need to see if he has the potential to stick in rotation. I mean, I had Brown and DCs last year. And I only have him on one this year. Unfortunately, I wasn't as aggressive with them because I think kind of with the Povich situation, the Cubs kept signing starters or acquiring starters. So I was like, okay, well, maybe they don't want Ben to start. But now Ray's in the bullpen. Assad's hurt. So, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. And I think Brown was drafted in all my mains, unfortunately, just because they have Jordan Wicks as well, who I thought had a shot, and they have Cade Horton, a big prospect. So yeah, there were a lot of obstacles that Ben Brown had to overcome, and he did it, at least for now. But he has the talent to be a pretty good starter, I think. So if he's available, I like him as an upside play, even in 12 teamers.
Yeah, let me check this real quick. So I think he's a huge upside play, but going in my OCs here. Ben Brown is only rostered in 14% of leagues. That's going to be changing drastically on Sunday. That might be a new, might be towards the top of the list next week, Ben.
Should be.
This is good news for some. You never want to root for this for others type situation. But Jordan Montgomery, the problems in Arizona, and then kind of out of nowhere, Tommy John surgery was announced on Tuesday. Didn't see that one coming. Like the Alexis Diaz hamstring IL was kind of funny and like, okay, sure. You don't give guy TJ though. That's different. So he's done for the season. Any ramifications other than that? I guess obviously opens up a spot, I guess.
Well, it's one less mouth for that spot, I guess, because
he was in the bullpen. That's the thing is they reported he's going to start in the bullpen like the day before and then he gets TJ the next day.
Yeah, I joked in the Discord that I think the owner snuck into his hotel room and cut his UCL with a pair of scissors so he didn't have to pay him this year. But it hurts because I had Montgomery in a few half of my DCs, and I thought he was a great bounce back candidate at his ADP. And maybe Boris screwed him over by getting him hurt last year, and that's why he was so bad. And then it just carried over to this year. But I was hoping the Yankees would have traded for him, assuming he was healthy. I think that would have been a great fit for them to do that, even though they kind of screwed him over. They didn't really go after Montgomery when he left the Yankees, they traded him away, I think, to the Cardinals. Yeah, for Harrison Bader of all people. So, yeah, he left on bad terms, so maybe he didn't want to go back there. But I don't know. He might be toast. Montgomery, unfortunately. I liked him, but I don't know about it anymore.
Yep. I'm with you on that one. I think we're past that situation at this point in time, sadly enough. Back to the good news. The Rangers. We thought there was only one of these guys that was going to get a chance. They both do. Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker make the big club out of opening day, or for opening day. Leiter's supposed to pitch game two, Kumar Rocker game five, which just happens to be at Great American Small Park. So have fun with that, everybody. If we're looking at OCs, Kumar Rocker, where are you, Kumar? Kumar Rocker doesn't even come up when I type in his name. That is interesting. Jack, and it's just Mark Leiter. So I'm getting Leiter and Kumar don't even show up when I look at OCs. So who knows what that roster rate is. They were obviously drafted a little bit in 15s, maybe not in 12s. I find that hard to believe. But what are your thoughts on these two joining the big club?
Well, they have upside, of course, but I just pulled up the spring training stats and not the best. I guess if you like strikeouts, Kumar's your guy because he had 20 and 13 innings, but he also had a 9 ERA and a 2.08 whip in spring training. That was for Kumar Rocker. And then Leiter had a much better 3.48 ERA, but he had a 1.55 whip. Yep. And basically a K per inning with 10 walks and 20 and two thirds. So not the best numbers there either. So it feels like they had no other options, the Rangers. And there's like, okay, guys, go see if you can throw in the majors now. They were both up last year. Kumar had a little more success than Leiter did. But I missed out on both of them in my drafts. I'm not really upset about it right now because they were creeping up. Kumar was going in the 200s and 15s, and Leiter was early 300s. And they're probably some safer, relatively safer arms in that range. But in a shallower league, I guess they have more upside than those guys would do or would have. And I think maybe it makes more sense to take Leiter or Rocker in those leagues, but I'm not too confident that they're going to pitch well. And it's not, well, the other thing though is that Bradford could be out for a while. Yeah. He's one of those spots. And John Gray's already on the 60-day IL. So there's probably going to be a good leash for those two. And the Rangers already showed they don't really want to sign anyone because they're worried about the luxury tax threshold. But I don't know how the minors look.
They signed Patrick Corbin. Let's not forget.
Oh, yes. Well, I think he'll save the day eventually once he's up to speed. Yeah. Well, yeah, they're going to lose their job to Patrick Corbin eventually.
Yeah, one of them will, sadly. What if I get, if they struggle, if they don't struggle, I doubt they lose their job. But if and they struggle, Hauser, they, one of them. Yeah. I was looking for Hauser on their roster. Did they like DFA him or something?
They probably did.
He probably had an opt out. He was a minor league contract. If he didn't make the big squad, he probably opted out to get a job somewhere else. That's my guess.
On that one. He's showing a AAA on roster resource, but who knows if that's actually accurate.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out in the coming days. But yeah, they made the club. I like them a lot more in 12s and 15s, as you said, because you can take the volatility a little more. See where things go. That's just my brain, at least. So we'll see where that goes from there. Breaking news just took place, just dropped in the Discord here, Ben. We've been waiting for this news. Jared Jones won't need surgery. He'll be shut down from throwing for 6 weeks. I hear don't need surgery and then shut down for 6 weeks. I'm thinking he's going to have surgery.
That sounds like Garrett Cole last year.
Yeah.
Look what happened this
year. You're this young, Cole. Just go under the knife, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, the Pirates are competing it this year. So, just I mean, I know the player doesn't want to get surgery and be out for a long time, but could be best for his future. Who knows?
Yeah, it's pretty much I can't draft him then, because if he's out 6 weeks, then he gets basically he's shut down for 6 weeks. He has to, if he's fully healthy in 6 weeks, it's still like a 3 to 4 week ramp up period. So now we're talking 10 weeks. We're almost 3 months in by now. Like, you'll be lucky to get him back by the All-Star break, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, it's good news, though, for guys like Bubba Chandler and Thomas Harrington, though. Yeah, because
Give me some Bubba Chandler. Come on.
Bubba loves his Bubba. And then maybe Braxton Ashcraft. I mean, he's been hurt so much, but he's another guy. I was taking late once in a while in DCs. Yeah, I mean, now they have their 3, 4, 5. The Pirates is Heaney, Billy Falter, and Carmen Moldint. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Good luck. Yeah, that's why I left him off the outline for a reason.
His name's Carmen.
I'm like, I'm not going to call him Carmine. See where it goes for those that watch Penguin. All right, last bit I have here, Evan Carter. This one surprised a bit as well. Like, not because it's probably not deserved, but just didn't see it coming again. Evan Carter's going to start the season in AAA for the Rangers, so Leody Taveras takes over the role in the outfield for Carter. I'd expect to see Carter once he starts hitting well, obviously. That's common sense stuff. But, man, you dropping Carter? If you rostered Carter type stuff?
No, yeah, I'm right now. I'm lined up to drop Carter in two of my four Fab leagues. I have him in a DC as well. This is kind of on the grounds of Detmer's frustration for me because they know what Leody Taveras is, and Carter missed with an injury, but maybe they just think he's so off right now that there's no point in putting him in the majors. But I still like him as a bounce back candidate, Carter, because of the projections last year. I remember looking up last year's projections for Evan Carter. This as like a reference because last year was such a wash, and then I wasn't in on him last year because of the platooning and the limited track record, and he was going much higher in drafts. But when he was going in the late 200s now for Carter, he was projected for like a 17-17 guy with a positive average last year. I did not at that point in the draft that late. That's very nice upside and on a very good team, even if he is platooning, which I'm usually against. But at that point, it's hard to find that upside. So I think because of other players I have on my roster, other injuries, I'm just going to drop him, unfortunately, and maybe try to be like a week or two early on him if he starts doing well in AAA.
Yeah, he'll get his chance, and hopefully it's a wake-up call for him because I think it's one of those like the rest of us, he probably thought he was making the team. Probably was coasting, thinking, okay, we're all good. But, you know, why not put a kid in AAA that might help you someday with regular reps in the bigs when you can keep Kevin Pillar on the roster? Just little things that you got to do. This team just wants to keep saving money. It's great stuff.
Well, maybe he faces left though too, and that kind of helps him win the majors.
Yeah, he can platoon. Like, silver lining. Like they have Pillar platooning with Jock on roster resource. Kind of makes sense, weirdly enough. So, see where that one goes. All right, we're going to wrap up the news there. Again, there was a lot more. We could have spent more time on that, but that's the basics. Go check out Breakfast with Bubba or the Patreon to keep you caught up on everything else. Let's do it. Let's talk some fab. It is that time, my friend. I'm calling it week one. I think I mentioned on like the podcast with Ryan, I call it week zero, like college, where there's like four random games coming off. So these are for us that drafted way too early, basically. They need help. This is what fab is about. But yeah, it took place, so it happened. So I guess we call it week one. Week one of 27, Ben. You can't wait to do this all over. We're excited now. We remember how this story goes down the road here. It's like, oh, man, another Sunday in the books. All right. We'll get to our teams in a minute. But as usual, for those keeping track at home, we look at the NFBC Online Championship 12-team leagues because most people play 10s and 12s. Ben will give his 15-team insight to keep us up to date there. So we'll talk about the most added players and maybe some other names depending on time. I'm not going to mention too much here, but three of the four most added players are Landon Knack in 105 leagues, John Birdie in 100 leagues, Alec Vessia in 91, because they all get stats from Japan, Ben. I'll let you have the floor for a second. Were you in on any of these Japan guys? They were probably drafted in main events.
Oh, yeah, they were heavily targeted. I think Birdie had a 350 ADP over the weekend, which is insane, but it's – people are just trying to get some bankable stats, and I'd rather just look for players who could help me throughout the whole year. It's just a preference. There was a point where I added them to my queue last night, but I wasn't aggressive in attacking or trying to draft all three of those guys. And I think people missed out on Kike Hernandez because he had a homer, and that could have been valuable too. I think someone at the Ultimate drafted Kike, and I saw that. I think it was Scott Fleming, Hall of Famer, who did it. But yeah. That's not for me. I'd rather just try to go for a season-long upside with those picks.
Yeah, Hernandez was adding 52 OCs. So,
but Fab is a different story, though. Yes, we're talking Fab, so I think they were already taken. But for the same reason, though, I'm not going to drop a player who I think can help me just because someone already has a bankable stat.
Agreed. Completely agreed. If I had them on my waterfalls, they were very deep in the waterfalls. Let's put it that way. All right, so the I'm going to call it the number one most added player, and it wasn't Cam Smith, probably because he's already rostered in a few leagues. We'll get to him in a minute. He's number two. Number one was A.J. Smith-Schauber. So to me, like, Ben Brown might get more money, but what the love Smith-Schauber gets, I kind of feel should be the same for Ben Brown, for those that might be looking in the next week. A.J. Smith-Schauber, another big-time prospect, a lot of hype around him, injuries, and just kind of off and on performance has not been there. Dude's only 22 years old, had a really good spring. He was added in 94 leagues, as high as 115. As low as a dollar, of course. So where are you sitting on A.J. Smith-Schauber? Because he was definitely in my list, for sure.
Yeah, I definitely – well, I think he may have been drafted in my Fab leagues. I wasn't too aggressive in Fab, I'll say that now, because I wanted to see what happens with the guys I already did draft. But I think with Schauber, it's because he's on the Braves, and look what they've done with Strider in recent years. And then last year was Schwellenbach. And yes, Smith-Schauber's gotten his chance already several times. They seem to always go between him, Alan Winans, and whoever the other guys are. They always cycle through that fifth rotation spot for the Braves. But he could be out of a job, Smith-Schauber, once Strider's ready to go, because it depends on who's doing worse between him and Holmes. If Holmes is doing poorly, he just goes to the bullpen and Smith-Schauber stays in theory. But if Grant Holmes is doing really, really well and Smith-Schauber is doing okay or struggling, then I guess he can go back down into AAA. So it's more like a rental probably in my mind. So I wouldn't have gone too crazy after Smith-Schauber. But like in the draft, I was saying, I would have tried to take him just because you never know. But I wouldn't have tried spending too much fab on him.
Yep, I'm with you. I didn't go too crazy this week either. Cam Smith was my most highest price bid for $88. I always keep things kind of in line. I try to at least. The second most added player, Cam Smith, 89 leagues, $409. Runner-up was 22. So at least no one got a free Cam Smith. I'll say that much. 22 might be considered free, Ben, but no one got a free Cam Smith, which was great to see in the online championship format. Cam Smith has just been crushing it. Four homers at 342, eight runs, 11 RBIs, and 43 plate appearances in spring training. Was drafted out of Florida State last year. started out in low A, finished the year in double A and the minor league level. Through those levels, 7 homers, 2 steals in 32 games, while hitting .313. Dude's 22 years old, was the 14th overall pick in last year's draft. Thoughts on Cam Smith?
And maybe most interestingly is that he was in the Kyle Tucker trade, which I did not realize that until I saw that MLB Network tonight.
He was the main piece.
Yeah, so it makes sense why they're putting him out there right now. They want to see if what they got. But, yeah, I was talking to the Gills about him. Like I think I said earlier, with 115 career professional at-bats, I can't do this right now. I need more of a sample size to go off of. And even with rookies with big sample sizes, I'm like I said all the time, I'm more hesitant. The 22 is definitely fine, but I'm not paying 409 or anything above 100 for someone like this. So your prices, I think you said you were below 100. I think that's pretty good value. But tonight in my home league, which is a Kipper league, I would definitely be open to taking Cam Smith at the right time.
Yep. No, I would definitely be interested in taking him in a Kipper league. That is for sure. Kind of tongue-in-cheek joked about this earlier. Again, we're not counting the Dodger picks. The third most added player this week, Hayden Birdsong. 88 leagues, as high as 241, as low as $2, so no freebies either with Hayden Birdsong, technically. This is a gut punch. If you only got him for a few bucks, you can live with that. The 200-plus one, you got to kind of hold, I'd imagine, right about now, unfortunately, if you're spending that kind of cash. But like I said, he's stretched out enough to throw 140 innings this year. So that's the beauty of Birdsong. This might be like, let Roop do his thing, like Hicks last year, and here's Birdsong coming in from the back. That's where I could see this going. I don't know. What's your thoughts on people that paid up for Birdsong this week?
I feel bad, but it could not be the worst thing because, I mean, you're stuck with him for the week, but if you put him in your lineup and you don't have a full slate of starters going, maybe he gets a win or two. Who knows? Because if he does go in relief for the Giants on the weekend, maybe he does follow, or I don't know, maybe Verlander shows his age or something else happens where they need a few innings from Birdsong and he picks up a win. So it's not the worst thing. I mean, it'd be a very expensive stream if it comes to that. But yeah, if you can afford to hold on to Birdsong, I kind of agree with you. Like you don't really want to drop him right now, but it's just people are so anxious to spend their fab early on that they'll do crazy things like this sometimes. And that's why I was trying to be a little more careful in this waiting, at least wait for some games to get played before I did anything too drastic.
I think my highest bid on Birdsong was like $22, and I love Birdsong, but
yeah, you're a big fan.
It's called being realistic, folks. That's the best way I could put it. I didn't think this would happen, so I'm not clowning this part of it. I'm just like a lot of moving pieces. We haven't thrown a ball in the regular season yet. Ben Rice, we come into your neck of the woods here, Ben. Ben Rice, Uncle Ben, 82 leagues, $88 with the high bid. Low bid was $1. Dude hit .246 with 5 home runs in spring. Looks like he's going to be the backup first baseman and backup catcher and potentially full-time DH until Giancarlo figures out how to get 2 elbows. What are our thoughts on Ben Rice? We kind of did this experiment last year. He crushed it. Everyone added him for a lot of money, and then he disappeared. We back?
I am. So I actually drafted Ben Rice in my main event last night. He was a target of mine because I wanted to get a piece of him finally. So last year, I'm going to go off of last year because it was first major league pitching. Ben Rice had a 15.6% barrel rate with a .464 slug and an 11% walk rate. So he even though the numbers weren't the best on the surface, he definitely performed like he was capable of sticking in the majors. And he had a 90 mile per hour average exit velocity last year for Rice. The stand injury sounds pretty bad. So it might be a while till he's back. So as long as Rice performs, he should have a pretty long stay in the lineup. And you mentioned he could be the backup catcher. So maybe he gets catcher eligibility. So you're getting a full-time catcher that isn't catching, which is always great. And he's going to be hitting Yankee Stadium with a short porch. He's hitting low in the lineup, but he's behind Dominguez and Volpe, which isn't the worst spot for someone who can drive and runs and hit for power. So big Ben Rice fan. I hope he helps out my Yanks, and I hope he helps out my main event as well. So I'm all for these prices. I don't know if I go 80 on them, but I'd definitely go in like the 30s, 40s maybe.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I'm interested. I might have one more draft left. I don't know. We'll see. So I'm definitely there because the first base eligibility, we know first base gets murky towards the end. So he just jumps in that Torkelson group and all that kind of stuff, upside plays. But
I was between the two of them. I'm glad you said Torkelson. I was between the two and I went with Ben Rice.
Because I could literally see them both having the same good or bad season. Like I could see them both like resulting very similarly. Ben Rice, the better ballpark, better overall lineup, I guess. Because I do like the Tigers, but The thing is with the Yankees, and someone mentioned this in Vegas, I never really thought about it because I just assumed with the Yankees, after like the top half of that lineup, it's not great. It's rough for Yankee standards, that's for sure. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. Next up on this list, another guy that I you know, about a week or so ago in spring, this makes sense, but going into spring, didn't think this was possible. Mike Clevinger looks like he's the closer for the White Sox for now. Now, given how many saves will that incorporate, who knows? But it means he wasn't drafted in most leagues. He's picked up in 82-81 leagues. This is where it gets bad, though. As high as $352, as low as a dollar. Now, Clevinger was really good in six spring innings. He will get traded if he's good at all this year, and then he will not be a closer anymore. But I guess if you were in an OC and you needed saves and you want to get like maybe 15-ish, if you get lucky, you're in. And it was probably at least a more clear-cut situation than anything Cincinnati was going to offer you, or Texas, which we now might have a better idea. So what was your thoughts on these Clevinger bids? Because I don't think I even bid on them. Because I came out of every draft with three closers that are, knock on wood, still alive.
Yeah, I think in my one-man event where I went after – so I had Seth Halverson, and I went for Victor Vodnik to double up the Rockies because that's always a great idea, right?
This is a great game we play, Ben. Just an absolute.
I know, it makes you do dumb stuff sometimes, doesn't it?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, Clevinger's appealing. I know Curlin loved him because he was on some other terrible late reliever last year and it blew up in his face, but I get where he's coming from. This is like the White Sox might have close games and he might get saves out of that, but I would not pay that much for a closure on the White Sox. But I get if you need – it makes more sense in a 15 where there's – like, in theory, each team has two closers because there's 15 teams, 30 MLB teams. But in an OC where there's 12 teams and there's some extra to go around, I wouldn't have been as aggressive on Clevinger.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, in a 15, definitely would have been it because, yeah, anybody that's going to get a chance of saves you run to still wouldn't have paid $350, but I would have been in type thing. In 12s, if he's that good for me to regret it, so be it type thing. In my mind, like I'll just gladly miss that situation. Casey Mize picked up in 74 leagues. He was high up on my list. I don't think I got maybe one on Fab again. We'll recap that shortly. 74 leagues for Mize, as high as $109, as low as $3. Casey Mize had a pretty solid spring. Ryan's been on him all spring. I kind of laughed, and then the more he started throwing, I'm like, okay, he's actually looking good. In a short sample, of course, you look at the minor league stats from last year. It was only 13 innings because he was battling injuries, but you saw like a 24% K to walk, a 15% swing and strike in those short innings, which was a positive step in the right direction, one might say. And he threw 102 innings in 2024, so at least we know he can get up there. Still questions about longevity, I guess, but what were your thoughts on Casey Mize on the Fab market this week?
Didn't have a chance to take him because I think
he probably would have been available in yours. Yeah.
He was going in the 300s pretty regularly, I think, in main events. But even if he was available, I don't want to rain on Ryan's parade, but he doesn't get strikeouts, Mize. And I don't know. He hasn't really lived up to the hype. And I understand he did well in spring training, but I try not to put too much into spring training stats unless it's playing time related, or probably playing time related is the biggest thing I'll look into. But yeah, in a 12, I don't think he has a lot of upside. I mean, if you want to put a lot of faith in the upside, or the pedigree with the first round pick, he may have been first overall, I forget. But other than that, he hasn't shown in his four years in the majors that he can strike out major league batters. And if you can't do that, then you're not really valuable in fantasy.
Yep, that's very, very true. I like him in 12, so I think I'll take the chance that maybe we find a guy, but it's similar to Roop and these other guys. Rocker, Leiter. I don't know how many innings we're getting. That's just a $1 million question. But at least we know we're getting them right now, and he can move on. Like, especially in 12s, I'll take those innings now and move on. Like I did with Jordan Hicks last year. Like you can do with others. And heck, we said these things about Chris Sale last year, and he was a Cy Young Award winner. No, not saying Mize is going to do that, but you never know what you're going to get type thing as well. All right, I'm not really going to talk about Jack Leiter, but he was picked up in 68 leagues, so I guess I will. So he got picked up in 68 leagues, as high as 136. Mentioned him briefly, that's why I wasn't going to talk a ton about him. We talked about him for making the team. Do you have anything to add on Jack Leiter getting added this week?
No, I think what I said when we talked about him in the news still applies here.
Will Warren, your boy, he's going to be the fifth man in that rotation with all of the fun injuries because Clark Schmidt will start on the IL. Doesn't seem like it's a long IL stint, though, so we'll see how that pans out. Carlos Carrasco is there as well. But Will Warren picked up in 66 leagues, as high as 179, as low as a buck. What are your thoughts on Warren? Because you probably have a better handle on him than most of us.
Yeah, I was into drafting Warren. I didn't end up getting him anywhere. I think people are just really aggressive because he's on the Yankees. He's not guaranteed to stick around, kind of like you mentioned, because Clark Schmidt is – he's kind of in the same ilk as Gunnar Henderson. And I guess we haven't talked about him because he was drafted, but Sean Manaea, who are they – not really hurt right now, but they're just delayed because of setbacks or injuries. So Schmidt should be back relatively soon. And then if Carrasco's performing, which is not a very high probability of happening, then Warren would get sent down to AAA. And I think they're kind of stuck with Stroman because of what they're paying him, unfortunately. So it's Warren versus Carrasco, and Carrasco pitched really well. I think he pitched better than Warren. I didn't really pay attention to too much of the spring training stats, if I'm being honest, but Warren was one of their top prospects, and let me pull up his underlying stats from last year. I got them right here. It wasn't awful. I did add Warren and Fab last year. He had a 26% K rate, a 9% walk rate. Isn't the best, but it's not the worst. 10% swing strike rate, CR below 4, xFIP of 4. He had some issues with hard contact, Warren did. A lot of zone contact allowed against. He allowed a lot of zone contact against him, but it was first time in the majors, like we say with a lot of the other rookies. So I like the upside with Will. I hope he does well, but he's kind of, I had him valued in the Birdsong range, a little bit behind. I had him valued in the early 300s in drafts. So those kind of pitches, but it's like a flyer, and I get adding him in Fab for that reason. But unfortunately I wasn't able to get him anywhere.
Yep. No, I don't think I did either. I'm very interested in him. I started backing off in drafts because there's so much questions involved in that. I think he's really good. I'm just curious, if Carrasco keeps him out of that rotation. But the Yankees need pitching depth, so it's one of those kind of maybe you have to type situations. I don't know. That'll be
Carrasco could opt out because that's why he made the roster, because if he didn't make the roster, he was getting freed.
That's what I'm saying. And they need that depth. So it's almost like they have to leave them in there and just kind of work around the guys with options, which sucks. But
I mean, they could put Stroman in the bullpen, but I don't know. Yeah, he might light the clubhouse on fire if that happens.
Yeah, it's like pulling the pin on the grenade right there. That could get real ugly real quick.
Yeah.
All right. This one's for Ryan Bloomfield out there. Austin Hayes picked up in 64 leagues, as high as 56 bucks, as low as a dollar. Love me some Austin Hayes. Like Frost Resource hasn't predicted it cleanup. That's kind of sad. But, he had 3 homers, 1 steal at 310, 14 ribbies in spring. He hasn't been healthy in a couple of years. Guy that would, a lot of us had expectations as a good fourth or fifth outfielder at one time in fantasy. So I'm in. I think this is a really good ad. See, these are the kind of ads I like a little more than speculating on these, like, flashy new toys. Hayes is actually going to play almost every day, half his games in Great American, and once was very good and looks to be healthy. Like, this is a guy I'm willing to spend a little cash on because I think I might use him for a while.
Yeah, I agree. He's golden in a 15-teamer because of he's not going to be in a platoon. And he has that great ballpark, like you said, and ideally the great lineup position as well. Hearing you say that he stole a base or two in spring training was interesting because he's not really a steals guy, but the Reds are aggressive, so if he is relatively fast, maybe Hayes gets 5+ steals, which would be great for his value. He should hit 20 homers in that park, and with a decent average, so... I didn't get Hayes anywhere in drafts. I think I have him on a DC, I want to say, which is nice. But, yeah, at these prices, you're getting a lot more guaranteed production. It may not be worth it as much in a 12, but in a 15 for sure. He's very valuable.
Yep, absolutely love him in that regards. And that's kind of my downfall at times at 12, between playing 12s and 15s. He might not be valuable in 12s, or I see him valuable in 12s, and there's where the things get clogged up in my brain at times on those formats. Couple more here. Victor Scott II picked up in 61 leagues, as high as 269, as low as 37. So, just doing a quick analysis here. No, never mind. That's not the case. But, for someone picked up in over 50 leagues, let's put it that way, picked up in over even 11 leagues, everyone in that regard, Victor Scott had the highest min bid, I should say. So that's a plus in this world. I wasn't that excited though. Where were you at on Victor Scott the second?
I actually moved him up in my rankings for my draft last night. I think it was the MLB.com beat reporter email I was reading, and he did a lot of work in the offseason. Scott did with base running and his swing. I think he worked with Vince Coleman. I forget who else they mentioned. And so I just said a minute ago that I don't really care about spring training stats, but here I am referencing them with Scott. He had 349 and 43 at bats. He had 4 homers and 5 steals in 16 games. So that stands out to me. Like, after hearing he made these adjustments, he worked with these former really good MLB players on becoming better. The only thing that really tampers my excitement is the spring training stats, but also the lineup position. But he could easily move up to the top of the Cardinals lineup. I think he's going to hit in the lower half. But if you need steals, Scott's is the go-to poster child of steals. So I get it. I was a little upset that I didn't get him in the main event last night, but I think he has some great upside, and he could finally hit this, hit figuratively. I'm speaking that he could actually be productive this year in the majors after he failed last year and was sent back down. So I get going for Scott, especially in a 12 where you need that upside. So no qualms from me here.
Yep. No, that works for me in that explanation. I can agree with that for sure. Many more names were added this week because people were filling either the shiny new toy or they had needs because they drafted so early. But I want to get to our teams, and we actually have some listener questions. So if you're ready, Ben, let's talk about who we added and dropped this week to give some context to the listener, if you're ready on that. Otherwise, I can go. It's up to you.
Yeah, I pulled it up real quickly. And I didn't make too many moves, like I said, but so that should be quick. My New Jersey main. I added Jared Kelnick and I dropped James Outman, $2, no backup. I know it's Kelnick, but he's going to play for now in theory, and it's a bench bat, so I don't mind that. Main event number two. So this is one where I had Seth Halverson as my reliever too. I added Victor Vodnik, dropped Jesus Tinoco, $16, no backup, which I thought was okay. I think reliever recon has Vodnik as the closer. Yep. Maybe even roster resource too. So I just wanted to guarantee that Rockies closer. What could go wrong? Then I had JP Sears. I dropped Kenta Maeda, $4, no backup. So $20 there. And then my main event three didn't draft yet. And then this is a little tale for listeners to not feel bad if you make a mistake. First I added Cade Povich. I dropped Aaron Ashby, 18-7. This is the Bubble in the Bloom Listener League, 15 team auction. And then I also added Lamont Wade Jr., dropped Caleb Durbin, which was sad to drop him, $2, $1 backup. Yeah. And I also meant to – what else did I mean to do? Let me pull up my fab results because it's a different page. So I also wanted to drop, I believe, Tony Gonsolin, who was hurt. But because I was rusty and rushing, I left Aaron Ashby as my drop. So I had I missed out on Mike Soroka, essentially. I would have won him for $16 if I had changed my drop from Ashby to Tony Gonsolin. So make sure you double-check.
Lessons learned, kids.
You're fabulous, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. And to be fair, I didn't make that issue, but my first team I started doing fab, I hit a few buttons wrong the first time. So it took me a while to get going back in the groove. As weird as that sounds, for as many teams as we do, Ben, you think it'd be riding a bike. It was eventually, but the first few pedals, a little rocky. Is the best.
Yeah, you kind of swerve and almost falling over. Yeah. The wheel's a little wobbly.
Yeah. But we got locked in there. So let's see what I have on my OC, which I'll be doing at least one more in the next couple of days. But my Beat Bubba OC, yeah, the people were aggressive. Brian Presley went for 289, Chris Martin for one. These guys went wild in this one. I got Gavin Lux for $13. This is where my OC brain triggered in, and this could be stupid because Ryan said probably not, but we'll see. Drop Max Muncy, $13 to $7 runner-up. So I love Lux, second base, third base coming up in that ballpark. Muncy was even horrible in spring, man. Like, he's going to hit homers, but everything else is atrocious. I drafted it so long ago, I needed a corner infielder. I could have someone fill in for like a week or so until Lux can take it over and see where it goes or drop him. These are the cheap guys, but a guy, again, I could use Lux all season potentially, unlike someone else where things go.
That's the LA Dodgers, Max Muncy, in case, just to make sure that everyone's on the same page.
Yeah,
the Athletics, we have to say that.
Yeah, the Athletics Muncy was not available this week. I added Siler McGill, dropped Cody Bradford, $7, $4 runner-up. So both those felt pretty good, to be honest. Got some runner-up bids in an OC. Doesn't happen very often. And then because I wasn't super aggressive on the other pitchers, I ended up with Charlie Morton for $2, dropped Cutter Crawford, no runner-up bid. Charlie will definitely be an in-and-out-of-the-rotation guy for me. One of my 250 standalones, 12-team leagues, I got Cam's. I have more than one Cam's. Okay, this one was funny because I'm like, is this a August OC league? Because there was two, four, six. There's eight transactions. Seven of them had no runner-up bids. Bizarre. That's all I'm going to say.
Wild.
I got Cam Smith dropped Johnny DeLuca 37-0. Boring. Got Will Warren dropped Matthew Boyd 9-0. Got Cade Povich dropped Hayden Wesneski 6-0. So there you go. Only runner up bid was Hayden Birdsong. So yeah. The 250 standalone in Vegas, the kind of listener league. I didn't do any fab. No one did because we drafted that day. And thank God there was no need to do fab. Bubba in the Bloom Listener League. I got Cam Smith dropped Lamont Wade Jr. 88-86. That felt good.
Oh, wow. Coming out of the gate strong.
Yes. And Sarah Sanchez, who's in that league, she's a big time Cubby fan, loves her some Cam Smith when they drafted him. She was the runner up. So that made me feel a little better. Yeah. And I say that with love, Sarah. Say that with love. Added Elias Diaz, dropped my boy Adrian Del Castillo. I got aggressive here because I needed a catcher. Elias is starting for San Diego. Luis Campusano's in AAA. Martin Maldonado's the backup. I got Diaz for $8, runner up of a dollar, but I had to get him. And then I got Charlie Morton, dropped Chase Dolander 3-0. Like Morton was my last pitcher on almost every list, and somehow I got him because I guess I suck. But I like Dolander, but that is just not a great spring, and the Rockies gonna Rocky. My OLAC, I added Jose Trevino, dropped Tommy Pham 6-0, needed a catcher while Tyler Stevenson's on the IL, and then added Zach DiCenzo, dropped Bo Brisky 4-3. I loved that one because I think DiCenzo's really good, and if he can just get a chance at regular playing time, especially in a 15, DiCenzo can be pretty sweet. We don't need to do BARF and TGFBI. I think we're good there. We'll leave it there on that one. All right, couple listener questions before we get Ben off to, I believe, pickleball this evening, which is just so
it's
awesome.
My home league draft. Pickleball.
No, your draft. Sorry, pickleball Thursday. Sorry, I'll get your schedule figured out soon enough. Don't you worry.
Well, it's the last week of pickleball, so you don't try to remember too hard.
Okay. Couple questions. Our buddy Darth Disney says, what's the best weather app for tracking games? I follow Kevin Roth on Twitter. He's from Roto.
Baller?
No, if you have something, let them know. Roto Grinders is who I follow on Twitter. They used to have a great MLB data site, but that shut down, unfortunately.
Yeah, I actually don't do this in my process, I guess, is the best way to put it. I don't really look for anything like that, honestly. I don't know if I should or not, but.
Mine's basically because of DFS is the only reason I really do.
Yeah, I mean, my home league is daily, so I guess I have to worry about that, but. It's always annoying when you have a guy in your lineup and then it gets rained out and they're sitting and you don't see it in time. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. So maybe I should listen to what you have to say, Bubba.
Follow Kevin Roth on Twitter. He tweets out like the weather like once or twice a day, which is pretty like, he gives you like ratings on the like severity of potential weather. He'll even tell you if it's going to be windy, so on and so forth.
Found him.
Richard Boykin says Kikuchi at his price has got to be a strong consideration. Yes, we've been all over Kikuchi. At least me and Ryan have. I don't want to speak for Ben, but yes.
I've been hesitant. When he went to the Angels, I kind of lost all interest. I mean, I did have him ranked ahead of ADP. I don't know why, because I never took Kikuchi at all my drafts, but it's just he's always got a homer problem. The ERA is always going to hurt you. He's kind of like Pivetta, but yeah, he exactly. Is a lot like Pivetta. Another thing about it.
A lot like Pivetta. Very, very much like Pivetta. Yes.
With a worse whip, though. So, yeah, I don't know. It's I don't know if he'll keep those gains that Kikuchi made last year, but it's if you want to take the gamble, it's not going to kill you.
For sure. Adam Brenchen says a couple hitters or SP streamers to add in place of the upcoming easy drops, Vesa, Knack, etc. Are we just targeting versus Colorado, Miami, Chicago, White Sox again already? Yeah, we kind of are. Throw Miami. Yeah, Miami's on the list. I'll let Ben have the floor. I haven't looked a ton yet, Adam, and I know you listen to Bubba and the Bloom, and Thursday night we have our fab preview, so I'll have you covered there. But Ben's probably at least or maybe is ahead of the game on that one.
No, I haven't started getting that far ahead yet. I'll probably start, I don't know if I'll start tomorrow, but Thursday, Friday, I will. One thing I like to use is Pitcher List. I think it's their daily streaming article that Nick Pollock writes, he lists at the top the best offenses in his mind for targeting pitchers, whether it's a full avoid, try to avoid, a neutral, a pretty good target, and then like always target these guys. And I reference that when I do my fab. So I'll go to that article. I'll update my little one of my files that I use for my fab tracking, and those teams will all be in Nick's targets, I'm sure. But to go against what we were talking about earlier, I think Miami's the worst, and then the White Sox, and then Road Rockies. So yeah, I think it's the streaming article by Pollock on Pitcherless is what I use for that stuff.
Yep. He will have you covered there. We'll have you covered on Thursday night, Friday morning listening, whatever you want, over on Bubba and the Bloom. Plus, Ryan has a bunch of cool tools coming your way for in-season stuff as well on the Patreon. So go check that out. The guilds, just to your point, how much Cam Smith ownership is too much. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks. Yep, kind of hit on that.
What the guilds has is too much.
One time. Nunya Biz says, head-to-head 12-team, 6x6 categories with quality start. Waiver wire pitchers, I need two. You're ready, Ben. Kate Povich, AJ Smith-Shawver, Landon Roop, Dick Fitz, Ben Brown, Griffin Canning, Tyler Molly, Matthew Liberatore, Hayden Wesneski. To be honest, I don't know if any of these guys are good for quality starts leagues.
You had to say his name like that. If we had to pick two, I would go.
The first thing that comes to mind. I apologize.
It shows my maturity. I would go Povich and Ben Brown if I had to choose two.
Yeah, if I had to, Povich would be at the top. I don't argue with Brown. If I have to throw two more behind those two,
it's weird enough. I feel like you'd pick those two.
Yeah, that'd be the two I'd pick just for a total upside. But in honesty, if you want quality starts, it's probably Griffin Canning and Tyler Molly, weirdly enough. We've seen them go deep into games. But I'd rather go with the Povich Brown than go Shawver Roop, all things considered.
I'd rather go for the better ratios, honestly. Yeah. I'd try to get quality starts from somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you there. Just know the quality starts pretty much don't exist on that list you sent us. Robbie Lester says, thoughts on Leody Taveras? Is he an everyday player moving forward? In 15s, he probably will be, Ben.
Yeah, then we saw a lot of people in the Discord say how they would add him last year, Taveras, and then he'd be not play once they added him and stuff like that. So not really too reliable of a player, but I would have, in the league where I have Carter, I would have gone for adding Taveras, but someone already drafted him, unfortunately. So kind of SOL.
Yep. Yancey Eaton, our buddy, says, would you consider adding Ben Brown for $2 in fab on Sunday for your main event, sharp or super ultra sharp? You're going to need more than $2, Yancey.
I was just saying, don't go a dollar more. He might get him. Joking, Bubba. I'm joking, Bubba.
Is he in your league?
No. It'd be fun to be in a league with Yancey, though.
Yes, it is. Yes, everything's fun about Yancey Eaton. That is for sure. in the chat here, Jimmy D says, any thoughts on Hayden Wesneski? I know he's day-to-day. We took that comebacker off the foot, but x-rays were negative. I like Hayden a lot. Any thoughts on your part?
I was surprised that you dropped him, but it was for Povich, though, so I do like
that. That's why. Yeah, it's like there's a dude, because that was a league I drafted so long ago, there was like options. I'm like, okay, yeah, let's roll.
Yeah. I am a fan of Wisniewski. I think I have him on two main events. I did tweet out my main event player shares, and I think he's on two of them, so yeah, him going to the Astros is very appealing. So that's why I'm definitely in. Yep, I have Wesneski on two or three main events. So I put my money where my mouth is.
Yeah, for sure. No, I like Wesneski. It's just that was the toughest to me. The toughest part, because knock on wood, outside of like Stevenson, I didn't have any real crazy amounts of injuries. Like I had a little things here and there. So it's like, okay, like you said, you want to kind of see who the guys you brought to the dance. Let's see what we got. But then when I opened, there was like a Povich sitting there, or like, so I'm like, yeah.
my listener had a lot of work to do. So I waited to draft most of my fab leagues. That's why. But yeah, the earlier you draft, the more work you have to do. I get it.
Yep. All right, my friend, we'll wrap it up there. First fab recap in the books, 26 more to go. We might have a guest join us once in a while if we have extra time. We'll see how that one goes. But, any final thoughts, my friend, before you go to your last draft? And next time we chat on the air, obviously, we'll chat before that. We'll have real games to talk about.
Can't wait. This episode of like before the season starts is always so much fun to get hyped up for it. I wish the games were tomorrow. I don't want to wait another day with no games. And also the fact that they start at 3 Eastern time is kind of annoying. I have to, it's good though, cause I'll be out of work at that point. So I can sit down and watch the Yankees play after work, which would be nice. But yeah, I'll try to be a little more active in FAB this weekend. And to everyone who has to draft still, good luck. Hopefully you crush your drafts and get yourself set up to take down some titles this year.
Yep. Good luck, everybody. Again, if you need help with stuff, check out the Patreon, Bubba and the Bloom Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaBloom. Lots of stuff there. Otherwise, Ben's on Twitter at @BreakingBen_T. Listen to Breakfast with Bubba. Get you caught up on all your daily news and stuff there. We'll have pretty much 5 days a week at least coming up here. So we'll have that coming your way. You can find me on Twitter at @BDentric. But for now, this was Bench with Bubba, episode 755. Catch y'all next time.